Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's good to have you with us here tonight on another in the series of Establishing Your Faith. On a Friday night in January, and I don't know what it's like where you are, but my goodness sakes, North Dakota had 35 degrees today. The snow was melting on the road. It's like, wow. I don't know too many Januaries where you had 35 degrees in North Dakota, but hey, everybody's enjoying it. And the little birds are out here. These little birds, though, these sparrows, they take a bath when it's zero. It's interesting. They've been playing in the bird bath the last couple of days, having themselves a time getting in that midwinter bath. You know, I don't know how many of you do that, or if you just take a bath every day, but hopefully you do. Welcome. We are in a series here at the beginning of the year of understanding being one with the Father. And, you know, it's a powerful understanding when you finally get the revelation. Hold it. I have God deep inside of me. And he's standing right there next to all my pain, my sorrow, my fear, saying, if you'll just let me deal with that like I dealt with your sin, it'll all be gone. And our challenge is that we just say to the Lord, hey, help me get rid of it. And of course, his first statement's always going to be, forgive him. And that'll help you get rid of the pain and the sorrow and all that stuff that's inside of you. But, you know, it's a completely different point of view when you finally come to the understanding God's not way out there somewhere in the great far away, trying to, if he could possibly get some information to you. He's right in here. And I've learned in the last 12 months myself that Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. And I set out last year, I made that my goal, that I would learn that process. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is an interesting process to learn. And it is probably exactly why Jesus was seen in the temple at 12 and wasn't seen in his public ministry till 30 and had 18 years of training. Because he had to grow in grace and in the knowledge of who God was and the favor of God and in the favor of man. And then at 30, he went into his full-time ministry and immediately in 3 years fulfilled that and then paid the price for you and I. So don't ever shy away from a good understanding. When you get the revelation that God lives within you, then no longer are his words of anger because you've done wrong. His words will be words of guidance, helping you do right, even though sometimes he's going to say, will you just please stop doing that? Or he might even say to you, stop doing that. And he might be even loud. But what's he doing? He's guiding us out of ourselves, helping us get into him where we can truly live in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is our greatest goal. You know, there's a lot of people that feel like what church and Christianity is all about is so that we would have we'd have some place to show off our gifts. And that is just not what this is all about. It just isn't. This is about let's come together. Let's, as a body, grow and develop together. Everyone in their place, functioning in their grace. Nobody lifted way high above another. All of us ministering to God and each other exactly in our place, knowing that God is going to give us the grace to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And it's interesting because we preached a couple messages about being one with God, preached about the righteousness of God, being one with the Father. And of course, if you're following the Read the Word this year again, we're in the book of Job. And I have been now for about 5 months speaking Job 33, 14 through 18 over all of us. And it's amazing how many people are having dreams, and it's amazing what's in those dreams. Sunday, have you ever had part two to yours?
I think I watched part two. I had the book too.
I mean part two to your dream that you had of the angel.
Sorry, I was talking about something else. I went in left field. No, I didn't. I'm thinking it was just to strengthen me. You know, I was supposed to do that weekend turned out upside down that weekend. I couldn't do it. It was just not a good time. Dane wasn't even home.
Wow.
He went to his aunt or his sisters, you know, and spent some time with them. So I'm thinking, okay. I said, Lord, when can I do this? You know, get us all together here. So I'm just waiting.
Well, but you know what? The plan of God is very clear if we listen to him. And sometimes it's so clear we feel like we should get up and go do it right then.
Yeah, that's where I feel like an urgency. You know what I'm saying? I want to get it done.
And yet,
I'm still fasting. So
sometimes that getting it done just doesn't happen. It's like,
I know. It's not our time. It's God's time.
Woo!
And I think that's the thing I'm running ahead of God. He's saying, oh, you're not. You're going to stay right here till I know you're ready to do it. I feel very confident in doing it. I have no problems with that at all, but it isn't about me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about the Holy Spirit guiding me.
Yeah. You know, I think you should tell that dream again about that, about the hobo or whatever you call it.
Who's the bad guy?
Oh, the angel?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, though, after he put his hand on me, I had woke up. But like I told you, I was in extreme pain. My body was hurting really bad when I woke up, but I was in a very deep sleep. I just didn't want to wake up. You know, it's one of those. And I said, Lord, where's the rest of it? You know, maybe it is in two parts, but I prayed about it last night too. I'll never forget it. That is for sure, ever. It was an experience. And as a prayer, it was answered because I said, Lord, I'd love to see an angel. But I think I passed out, you know, if I seen a warrior angel, because they're, you know, they're huge. But God did it in such a sweet way, you know.
I always picture the angels like those angels that are out in front of Bronner's.
I've never seen, I know what you're talking about.
They're like 15 foot tall, they're huge. That's what I always picture an angel looking like.
Even in the Bible, it talks about how huge they are. They're not tiny. They're warriors, and that's what they do.
Well, so thank you, Cindy.
Okay.
I was I've been speaking that, and then it just hit me. You know, these guys in Job understood things about God that even people in our day don't understand. But the problem with our day is there's so much confusion because of the internet and TV and radio and all the technologies and everything happening around us. You got to think about Job. Job was 2,000 years before Jesus. He was about 600 years before Abraham. So there wasn't a lot of technology happening back then. And even if they did send smoke signals, they didn't have to worry about it going all night long, you know, but they knew God. They knew who God was, even though some of their doctrine about him was messed up, and they didn't have a Bible, and they didn't have a church, and they didn't have a pastor. And, you know, you just realize, wow. Hey, Brother Roger, welcome. Good to have you over there with us on YouTube tonight. And Brother Roger went and got his Bible today. I thought that was awesome to hear. So those of you that saw the video about the Thompson chain, I made that to give Roger and anybody else that's going to get a Thompson chain a little bit of instruction about how to use it, just a little. And then we studied the righteousness of God. It was a great video. It's on YouTube. And you can go and study it. And it's a good way to study the Bible. So I encourage you to, if you know somebody with a Thompson chain, or if you're going to buy one, I got a video out there that will help you. Actually used my phone and videoed the pages of the Bible and turned back and forth so that you could see that process and how it works. You know, and to think that Dr. Thompson, who put that Bible together, did it in 1890. 1890 is a long time ago. Long time ago. And thank God that we have good tools. All right, let's get busy. We're going to go to the book of Job, and I'm just going to read Job, and we're going to talk about knowing God, and we'll finish this up tonight. And then tomorrow night, remember, tomorrow night, we're going to have the story of Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom and her family were the people that hid the Jews during the Nazi occupation, and finally eventually went to a prison camp, and just has amazing stories of how God brought deliverance and victory to them. And so you're going to enjoy it. Get lots of sleep. Pray in the Holy Ghost before you get here so that you can hear. Let me ask this question. How many of you are Amazon Prime members? Anybody? Not that I expected you to be, but...
I don't have any of those.
No? Amazon?
No. My girlfriend did, and she had it on my TV, one of those.
Say again?
Are you talking about the video? Amazon?
Amazon Prime is a process that's part of Amazon.
Yeah.
I think you have to pay for it, though, so.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Oh, is it?
I was going to get it, but I thought, no, I'm not paying that price. I have Acorn and BritBox. That's it.
All right. Well, there's a thing on there. It's called Watch Party, that if you have Amazon Prime, then you might be able to click on that Watch Party and talk to other people and stuff or something. I don't know. But anyways, that's the only place I could find it to buy it. So please don't judge me for that. Even though I don't really want to give Amazon my business, it's interesting that they're the only ones that have access to the video. The hiding place. I'm not sure what that's all about, but actually I think I know what it's all about, and I'll just keep it to myself. Job 33, and let's go back and we'll read 14. I won't preach it tonight, I don't think. And we're going to go through... I don't know. We might make it all the way through chapter 39. I'm just going to read. It's going to be good. Had pizza sticks for dinner. Amen, Brother Roger. I had pizza.
Pastor Tim,
yeah.
My daughter has Amazon Prime. If you're talking about buying something, she has Amazon Prime. You can order through it.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Actually, I was referring to that if a bunch of people have it, you can actually do a watch party together where everybody's kind of in the same room together.
Oh, I see.
But I didn't figure.
I thought you were trying to buy something.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And if I ever need to buy something, then I'll call her up. That's awesome. I don't buy enough from them that I'm going to get it because I ain't spending enough. You know how it is. If you sign up for the plan and then you don't buy enough and then you're still paying for the plan, all of a sudden you start buying stuff and you're like, I don't need to buy all this stuff, but I'm paying for this, so I might as well get my deals. Here we go. Job 33:14. For God may speak in one way or in another, and yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while they're slumbering on their beds, then he, notice that he is capitalized, circle it, then he opens the ears of men. Not these phalanges on the side of your head, the ears of your heart. And he seals their instruction, you could say, with it, in them. All right? Why? To turn man from his deeds. Turn him from his deeds. And conceal pride from him. Conceal it. Keep it from him. Well, pride is the number one thing that causes any Christian to fall. Pride is the number one thing that keeps people from coming to God. I've seen people in church stand with their hands on the pew in front of them during an altar call and just shake with the conviction of God, but too proud to submit to Almighty God. And that's just not wise. Book of James says, God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble, not the humiliated. He'll give you grace too, but he doesn't want you humiliated. He wants you to be humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. Well, it says he will keep back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. No matter who you are, if you've ever been a part of my life in any way, even one day, I pray for every person who's ever had contact with me, that no matter what is happening in my day, whether I impacted them powerfully for the cross, or maybe I was in the middle of something and didn't get a word said to them, in Jesus' mighty name, angels of God, every person we have ever touched in any part of our life, we declare, give them a technicolor vision in the night when deep sleep falls on them and help them come to you in Jesus' mighty name. It's one of the greatest intercessory prayer verses you'll find for your family members, especially old Uncle Joe. That's gnarlier than a whole den of snakes. 19. Man is also chastened with pain on his bed and with strong pain in many of his bones, so that his life abhors bread and his soul succulent food. His flesh wastes away from sight and his bones stick out, which once were not seen. Yet his soul draws near the pit, and his life to the executioners. If there is a messenger for him, a mediator, one among a thousand, to show man his uprightness. Well, who's the mediator? Jesus. Notice his is capitalized in verse 23. Then he is gracious to him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom price. That's a cool statement. His flesh shall be young like a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he, God, will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy, for he restores to man his righteousness. You might want to put right there, Joel chapter 2, verses 25 through 28. That's a really good cross-reference for that. I don't know. Is restore in there? Oh, it is in there. Wow. Probably find a whole bunch of restoration verses. That's really good. 30:25. Do you see that, Roger? Right next to verse 26, it says 30:25 restoration. Everybody just pause a minute. I said I was just going to read, but we might as well get a little bit of restoration. 30:25. Yeah, that'd be a lot of work to get that out, but that would be really good. Wow. So then you go to Joel chapter 2. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 2, your Bible should just about open up here. And then you put in Job 33, 25 and 26. Right next to verse 25, because that's about restore. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. I love it. That's what happens when you walk with God. Answers. Answers, answers, answers. Verse 27, then he looked at men and he says, I have sinned and perverted what was right, and it didn't profit me. He, God, will redeem his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. Understand? I see the light. Behold, God works all these things twice, in fact, three times with a man to bring back his soul from the pit, that he may be enlightened with the light of life. Who's the light of life? Jesus. Give ear, Job. Listen to me. Hold your peace, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify you. If not, listen to me. Hold your peace. I will teach you some wisdom. Now, it's very interesting to me how many times in this one chapter God uses the terms ransom, restore, and redeem. That is really interesting to me. Here's Elihu, prophesying about Jesus the Redeemer coming. This is 2,000 years before Jesus. And there's no temple, and there's no prophet, no apostle, no evangelist, pastor, teacher, no Bible, no church, no law, no anything. Them out there in those elements, and the world, the things that were created, was teaching them about God, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. That's amazing. Chapter 34, Elihu proclaims God's justice. Elihu further answered and said, hear my words, you wise men. Give ear to me, you who have knowledge. For the ear tests words as the palate test food. Let us choose justice for ourselves. Let us know among ourselves what is good, For Job has said, I'm righteous. God has taken away my justice. Should I lie concerning my right? My wound is incurable, though I am without transgression. I mean, God said it about Job in chapter 1. Job was a just man that walked with God and chewed out evil. Hold on, let me get it. What was it? Eschewed evil? He was a blameless and upright man, one who feared God and shunned evil. All right, let's keep reading. I'm in 34:5. For Job has said, I'm righteous, but God has taken away my justice. Should I lie concerning my right? My wound is incurable, though I'm without transgression. Well, he thought what happened to him was because he sinned. All right. What man is like Job, who drinks scorn like water, who goes in company with the workers of iniquity and walks with wicked men? For he has said, it profits a man nothing that he should delight in God. His soul was in really bad shape when he made that statement. Therefore, listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness. Exactly. God is not going to do wickedness to any of us. And from the Almighty to commit iniquity. For he repays man according to his work and makes man to find a reward according to his way. And you can see that there, but you can also see that would be in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Solomon said, there's nothing better for a man that he should than that he would eat and drink and enjoy the fruit of his labor. Verse 11, for he repays man according to his work and makes man to find a reward according to his way. Let's go down here to 13. Who gave him charge over the earth? That him is capitalized. That's speaking of God. Or who appointed him over the whole world if he should set his heart on it? If he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust if God withdrew his spirit that's on the inside of us. Now, that, my friends, is a serious, serious understanding of God. That's the same thing as you find in the book of Acts. In him, we live and move and have our very being. His spirit is in us, giving us life. And then, just like the New Testament, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Except Elihu said, if you have understanding, hear this. Listen to the sounds of my words. And the New Testament says, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Should one who hates justice come, will you condemn him who is most just? Is it fitting to say to a king, you are worthless, and to nobles, you are wicked? Yet he is not partial to princes, nor does he regard the rich more than the poor. For they are all the work of his hands. In a moment they die in the middle of the night. The people are shaken and pass away. The mighty are taken away without a hand. So Elihu is speaking words of truth about life, about man, and about God. And they have he has a very great understanding of who God is. Let's keep reading. 21. For his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. There's no darkness, nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he need not further consider a man, that he should go before God in judgment. He breaks in pieces mighty men without inquiry, and sets others in their place. Therefore he knows their works. He overthrows them in the night, and they are crushed. Think about how many times in the Old Testament an angel showed up and wiped out a whole army, one angel. 26, he strikes them as wicked men in the open sight of others, because they turned back from him, or you can say from following him, and would not consider any of his ways, so that they caused the cry of the poor to come to him. For God, he God, hears the cry of the afflicted. When he gives quietness, who then can make trouble? And when he hides his face, who then can see him? Whether it is against a nation or a man all alone, that the hypocrite should not reign, lest the people be ensnared. Somebody ought to put that on their Facebook page and make one of them colored meme things so all of us can share it. The hypocrite should not reign, lest the people be ensnared. Interesting. And really, you know what the word hypocrite means? Actor. What's a hypocrite do? Acts like somebody he's not. He's an actor. Here we go. I'm in 31. I'm in 34, 31. For has anyone said to God, I have borne chastening, I will offend no more? Teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Should he repay it according to your terms just because you disavow it? You must choose, and not I. Therefore, speak what you know. Men of understanding say to me, wise men who listen to me, Job speaks without knowledge. His words are without wisdom. Oh, that Job were tried to the utmost, because his answers are like those of wicked men. For he adds rebellion to his sin. He claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God. Just keep listening. 35. Moreover, Elihu answered and said, do you think this is right? Do you say my righteousness is more than God's? Well, we don't. For you say, what advantage will it be to you? What profit shall I have more than if I had sinned? That's what Solomon said. What value is it? You can't make that statement. Because it's a whole lot better to walk with God than it is to not walk with God. Oh, what verses I am. For I will answer you and your companions with you. Look to the heavens and see. Behold the clouds. They are higher than you. If you sin, what do you accomplish against him? Nothing. Or if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? Nothing. Or if you are righteous, what do you give him? Why does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness affects a man such as you, and your righteousness a son of man. Because of the multitude of the oppressions, they cry out. They cry out for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, where is God my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beast of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of the heaven? He gives us a song. He teaches us more. He makes us wiser. There they cry out, but he does not answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not listen to empty talk, nor will the Almighty regard it. Although you say you do not see him, yet justice is before him, and you must wait for him. And now, because he has not punished us in his anger, nor taken much notice of folly, therefore Job opens his mouth in vain, and he multiplies words without knowledge. Stop doing that, Brother Job. I'm in chapter 36. Elihu proclaims God's goodness. It's going to be a good chapter. Remember, this man is living 2,000 years, two millenniums before Jesus came to this earth. I know, Roger. Amen, brother. Chapter 36, Elihu also proceeded and said, bear with me a little, and I will show you that there are yet words to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. You and I could use those same verses. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, throne of God. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. Well, who is the creator? Jesus. He is our righteousness. For truly my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Behold, God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty in strength of understanding. He does not preserve the life of the wicked, but gives justice to the oppressed. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but they are on the throne with kings, for he has seated them forever, and they are exalted. And if they are bound in fetters, held in the cords of affliction, then he tells them their work and their transgressions, that they have acted defiantly. No one, I don't care who they are, is going to have any excuse when they stand before Jesus. Not you and I, the righteous, because of Jesus' righteousness, and not the most wicked. There will be no excuse. He opens their ear to instruction. He said it here. He said it in 35. He said it in 34. He said it in 33. Romans chapter, let's just pause. Hold your finger there. Always have a good Mark Barkley page to put there. Somebody remember what verse we're on. I wanted to get this. Romans 1. I'm just going to make that real quick correlation. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read 16 through 25. Romans 1, 16 through 25. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Roger, for putting in verses and holding down the fort for us over there on YouTube. We love you. All of our friends that's with us, Sister Phyllis, Rebecca, Brother Dan, Sister Sunday, Brother Dan and Sister Gwen, and Sister Sunday, we welcome you. Romans 1, 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, watch, in what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, because it is written, the just shall live by faith. What's the gospel? The good news. Right? 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Right out there, that's my window. Nature itself is going to show it to him. Watch. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their hearts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. God revealed it to them by nature itself. Can I get an amen, a hallelujah, or the big amen, or something? You guys are being real quiet again tonight.
A big amen.
Hallelujah. I'm in Job. I know you're just amazed with the word like I am. I just never wanted to teach out of Job. I didn't like Job. But I didn't understand it until I read it, the whole book, out loud. So that helps you sometimes. Verse 11. If they obey and serve him, look at this, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. If you obey and serve him, you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in present. They do not obey, they will perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, not what they don't know, but what they've heard and are resisting. God help us. 13. The hypocrites in heart store up wrath. They do not cry for help when he binds them. They die in youth, and their life ends among the perverted persons. He delivers the poor in their affliction and opens their ears in oppression. Indeed, he would have brought you out of dire distress into a broad place where there is no restraint, and what is set on your table would be full of richness. But you are filled with judgment, do the wicked. judgment and justice take hold of you, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take you away with one blow. For a large ransom would not help you avoid it. Well, if you're that kind of a wicked man, he is exactly right in what he just said. 19. Will your riches or all the mighty forces keep you from distress? No. No. Solomon had a king-sized bed that was large enough that I think it was 60 soldiers could stand around the outside edge of it shoulder to shoulder. That's a big bed. That's 15 on each side. And yet he was still filled with fear. 20. Do not desire the night when people are cut off in their place. Take heed. Do not turn to iniquity. For you have chosen this rather than affliction. Behold, God is exalted by his power. That's a statement. Who teaches like him? Who has assigned him his way? Or who has said, you have done wrong? Yeah, don't ever make that statement to God. Well, just know this. If you ever make that statement to God, your heart will be troubled within you immediately. 24. Remember to magnify his work, of which men have sung. Everyone has seen it. Man looks on it from afar. Behold, God is great, and we do not know him, nor can the number of his years be discovered. For he draws up drops of water, which distill as rain from the mist, when the clouds drop down, and pour abundantly upon man. Indeed, can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thunder from his canopy? Look, he scattered his light upon it and covers the depths of the sea. There's that statement again about the sea. For by these he judges the people and gives food in abundance. He covers his hands with lightning and commands it to strike. His thunder declares it. The cattle also concerning the rising storm. That is an amazing picture of who God is. Elihu proclaiming God's majesty in a thunderstorm. I like it. 37. At this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place. Hear attentively the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He sends it forth under the whole heaven, his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain them when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. For he says to the sower, no, he says to the snow, fall on the earth. Likewise to the gentle rain and the heavy rain of his strength. He seals the hand of every man. All men may know his work. Wow. Wow. He seals the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. The beasts go into dens and remain in their lairs. From the chamber of the south comes the whirlwind, and cold from the scattering winds of the north. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen. Also with moisture, he saturates the thick clouds. He scatters his bright clouds, and they swirl about, being turned by his guidance, that they may do whatever he commands them. On the face of the whole earth, he causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. Now, a tornado, which he said there, and they swirl about, being turned by his guidance. My God is not going to take a tornado and just wipe out a bunch of people. He's not the God of destruction. Well, Pastor, it happened yesterday. Well, I know a tornado killed some people, but it wasn't God doing it. He came to give life and life more abundantly. But remember, this man is speaking his words 2,000 years before Jesus. This is some pretty good wisdom for that time period. Verse 14. Listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know when God dispatches them and causes the light of his cloud to shine? Do you know how the clouds are balanced? Those wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge? Why are your garments hot? When he quiets the earth by the south wind. With them, have you spread out the skies strong as a cast metal mirror? Teach us what we should say to him. For we can prepare nothing because of the darkness. Should he be told that I wish to speak? If a man were to speak, surely he would be swallowed up. Even now, men cannot look at the light when it is bright in the skies. When the wind has passed and cleared them, he comes from the north as a golden splendor. With God is awesome majesty. As for the Almighty, he cannot find him. He's exalted in power, in judgment, and about an abundant justice. He does not oppress. Therefore, men fear him. He shows no partiality to any who are wise of heart. How many more verses we got? 41. Can we do it? I think we can do it. Because now God's going to speak. The three friends that God rebukes, and Job, and now Elihu's spoken, and now God is going to speak. You want to say it with me? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Probably better to say, speak, Lord. Your son is listening. Because that truly is what he's trying to get us to come to, is an understanding of our sonship and our inheritance. Placing my tabs on my Thompson Chain Bible. Amen, Roger. Here we go. God's first statement back to all of them. Yeah. The Lord reveals his omnipotence to Job. And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. How many know if you hear God say that? You done went past the wrong deal. Prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? How many of you can tell it's already better to just start right out in repentance right now? You know, it's like, I'm just dumb. Six, to what were its foundations fastened? That's an interesting statement. To what were the foundations of the world fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Who shut in the seas with doors? When it birthed forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud waves must stop. What's a proud wave? A wave just going to keep coming across the water, and unless it meets a larger, very, very much larger object, nothing's going to stop that wave. 12:38-12. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal and stands out like a garment from the wicked. Their light is withheld, and the upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Here the gates of death have been revealed to you. Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. What's the obvious answer? Ah. 19. Where is the way of the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home. Do you know? Because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail? For I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. By what way is light diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or a path for the thunderbolt, to cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass? Now, this is God speaking. So naturally, God has a good understanding of all of this. When you read Elihu, he had a pretty good understanding of God. Father, help that person come to Jesus. Help them come to Jesus. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Amen. 16. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Have you walked in search of the depths? We read that. 19. Where is the way of the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is its place? What's the obvious answer about darkness? Darkness is wherever there's an absence of light, that you may take it to its territory, that you may know the path of its home. Do you know it because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow? I love this. Have you entered the treasury of snow? No, but I entered the prairie of snow. All right. Have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is light diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or a path for the thunderbolt? Water that overflows finds the path of least resistance. And then if it's a major overflow of a dam, it begins to wear a hole in the grass and the dirt. And the next thing you know, the dam gives way if they don't have it built solid. Twenty-six. To cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass. Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice and the frost of heaven? Who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades, or loosen the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season? Can you guide the Great Bear with its cubs? He's talking about the stars in the sky. Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that an abundance of water may cover you? Yes, you actually can. Can you send out lightnings that they may go? I don't know about that. And say to you, here we are. Who has put wisdom in the mind? Who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the bottles of heaven when the dust hardens in clumps and the clouds cling together? Who's done it? 39. Can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens, or lurk in their lairs to lie in wait? Who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? God said to Job, present yourself. And Job got real quiet. Well, we're going to see Job say something here directly. So I think I'm going to keep reading. All in favor, keep reading. Raise your right hand. Amen. There's a hand. I don't know how to put my hand up. How'd you do that?
I just touched the button.
I ain't got one of them. You know what I like? I like that I have never had to put somebody in the waiting room Isn't that awesome about us? That we're all just good folks here with each other?
Yes.
I think that's just amazing. I just realized that when I was looking for it. There's actually a waiting room here where you could put people and say, you're in time out for a minute till you learn how to act right with everybody else. 39. I like this. This is God himself talking. This is two chapters of God talking. Do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Can you mark when the deer gives birth? Can you number the mouths that they fulfill, the months that they fulfill? Or do you know the time when they bear young? They bow down. They bring forth their young. They deliver their offspring. Their young ones are healthy. They go strong with grain. They depart and do not return to them. And if you can ever get out here during the spring of the year or even early summer, when the little mountain goats, the little antelope are just growing, they're the cutest little thing you ever saw. They're almost as cute as a little white-faced Hereford. They're just cute as can be. Keep going. 5, who set the wild donkey free? Who loosed the bonds of the onager? Whose home I have made the wilderness, and the barren land is dwelling. He scorns the tumult of the city. He does not heed the shouts of the driver. They had cabs back then, didn't they? The range of the mountains in his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Will the wild ox be willing to serve you? Will he bed by your manger? Can you bind the wild ox in the furrow with ropes? In other words, getting to plow? Or will he plow the valleys behind you? Will you trust him because his strength is great? Or will you leave your labor to him? Will you trust him to bring home your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? The wild ox is like a buffalo or a bison. 13, the wings of the ostrich wave proudly. But are her wings and pinions like the kindly stork's? No. For she leaves her eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust. She forgets that a foot may crush them, or that a wild beast may break them. She treats her young harshly, as though they are not hers. Her labor is in vain without concern, because God deprived her of wisdom and did not endow her with understanding. When she lifts herself on high, she scorns the horse and its rider. Don't you love it? Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him. The glittering spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage. Nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, aha! He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. From there it spies out the prey. Its eyes observe from afar. Its young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there it is. 38 and 39 is God talking. You gotta love it. Well, you don't have to, I guess, but it's 12 after. We're going for 40 because now God's going to talk to Job. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. He's like, you're rebuking me, so give me an answer. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. Have you ever felt that way when you're talking to God and you just got a little bit mouthy and you should not have been quite as what you said? Just like, nope, that was dumb. You know what? Just be wise and say, God, forgive me. That was just plain stupid. It's wisdom. Job said, I'm vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Or I have spoken, but I will not answer. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yet twice, but I will proceed no further. God challenges Job. And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Here he comes again out of the whirlwind. Prepare yourself like a man. Uh-oh. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me, that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. You and I can't do any of this. That's the power of this. Verse 15. Look now at the behemoth which I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. See now his strength is in his hips, and his power is in his stomach muscle. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sinew of his thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze. His ribs like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. That's an interesting statement. I remember that one. He is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him can bring near his sword, the behemoth. Surely the mountains yield food for him, and all the beasts of the field play there. He lies under the lotus trees, in a covert of reeds and marsh. The lotus tree covers him with their shade. The willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the river may rage, yet he is not disturbed. He is confident, though the Jordan gushes its mouth, though he takes it in his eyes, or one pierces his nose with a snare. Wow. I'm going to keep reading, so we're doing all right. Can you draw out Leviathan? Hold on just a second here. Oh, my goodness. I got all kinds of text tonight. There we go. Give me just a second here. All right. I love the majestic word of God. Amen, Roger. Chapter 41, God's awesome power. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? You're trying to catch him like a fish. Many people think that he's talking about a whale here. Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him? I mean, catch him and fry him for supper? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. I'm not remembering that. God says, go ahead. Lay your hand on him. However, remember the battle and don't do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? God's saying, if you can't handle a behemoth and you can't handle Leviathan, how are you going to handle me? Verse 11. I'm in 41:11. Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty power, or his graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? His rows of scales are his pride, shut up tightly as with a seal. One is so near another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. His sneezings flash forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lights. Sparks of fire shoot out. Many believe this is like a dinosaur or a dragon. Okay. 20. Smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck, and sorrow dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together. They are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is as hard as a stone, even as hard as the lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Keep reading.
Because of his crashings, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail. This is good reading, isn't it?
It is.
Nor does spear, dart, or javelin. Nothing. His undersides are sharp potsherds. He spreads pointed marks in the mire. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. This is quite the behemoth. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think the deep had white hair. That's an interesting description.
Yeah, it is.
On earth, there is nothing like him, which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride. He is king over all the children of pride.
What does that mean?
It means he is king over all the children of pride.
Yep.
42. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in the dust and ashes. But, of course, anytime God walks in the room, thou dost abhor thyself. Verse 7. And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job. The Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends. For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Just gotta let that settle in. Therefore, take for yourself seven bulls and seven rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. God just made him a priest. and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has spoken. Now, you got to go back and listen to the whole book of Job all over again right now just because of it. Because Job spoke some things right about God. And Eli, whatever that guy's name is, Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite, they didn't speak right. Nine, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite, went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. Look at what they brought. Seven bulls and seven rams. That's a lot of sacrifice.
Oh, my goodness.
Folly would be like foolishness. Ten. Now, look at this. And the Lord restored Job's losses. Want to say it with me? God is the God of restoration. Everybody just say it. You guys have been too quiet tonight. God is the God of restoration. And the Lord restored Job's losses. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all, listen to this statement now. Some people miss this. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintance, that's all of his family, his siblings, and that's anybody who knew Job, came to him, ate food with him in his house, consoled him, comforted him for all the adversity, and it actually says it that the Lord had brought upon him. Each gave him a piece of silver, and each gave him a ring of gold. His brothers, his sisters, and everyone who'd ever been acquaintance with him gave him a piece of silver and a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginnings. He had 14,000 sheep. Do you know how big of a field you got to have 14,000 sheep?
Couple acres.
Pause. I'm going to figure it out. Not really. 6,000 camels. Okay. So that's 20,000 head of animals. 1,000 yoke of oxen. So now you got 2,000 ox. This is huge. So where are we at? 14,000, 6,000, that's 20,000. 22,000. 1,000 female donkeys, that's 23,000. He had 23,000 head of livestock. Want to say it? Restore to me, Lord, like you did to Job. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, 10 kids. He had 10 kids. And he called the name of the first Jemima. But if, like Abraham Lincoln said on Facebook the other day, if your problem is a lady that makes carol syrup or maple syrup, you have a real problem. name of the first, Jemima. The name of the second, Keziah. The name of the third, Karen Hapak. All the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. Look at this. After this all happened, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for four generations. So Job died old and full of days. After all this happened, then Job lived 140 years. God is restoring the years that the locust has eaten. God is restoring the years that the locust have eaten. And he will continue to restore because he's the God of restoration. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, you can see who God is right there. And you can see what God does right there. I'm guessing for the sheep, he needs 250 acres. Yeah, you probably are off by about 250 because 14,000 sheep, you'd need 600 acres for that. 500 acres. You talk. I got to do some figuring. Wait. If you had 14,000 sheep and you divided that by 500 acres, that would be 28 sheep per acre.
That's a lot of sheep in one acre.
So you would probably have to have 1,000 acres, because if you had 14,000 sheep, that would be 14 sheep per acre. That's still too much. So you'd probably have to have 1,400, 10 sheep per acre. That's still too much, isn't it? Yeah, that might be about right. Or do you need an acre of land for each sheep?
No, they wouldn't. Maybe a dozen per acre.
But this is the cool thing about this.
Google it.
Yeah, do it. This is the cool thing about what we just read. This is how big God thinks. This is how big God thinks. Job did not do this to himself. We're the ones that think small about God. Ephesians chapter 3 says that God wants to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think.
1 acre of land for two sheep.
Wow.
The general rule of thumb is that 1 acre of land can support two sheep.
So if you got 14,000 sheep, you have to have 7,000 acres. Yeah. You know how much 7,000 acres is?
This varies greatly based on rainfall and your soil quality. If rain is plentiful and your soil is rich, your land may support more than two sheep per acre, which probably wasn't there. While an acre in drought-ridden area may not support even one. So, wow.
So 7,000 acres divided by 640 acre section is 10 of them.
Yeah.
So that's 10 sections, which is 5 miles long and 2 miles wide. Amazing. Anyways. What are we doing now, Pastor? We're talking about sheep. No, we're talking about how God sees everything mighty, huge, and awesome. And we're the ones that put limits on him. You and I know the story of Job because it's written in the book. And we know now on this side that in much of Job's life, he was prophesying about the suffering that Jesus would suffer. And Job was actually a type of Christ, even though he did nothing wrong. He was upright in all his ways. The Bible says it. There was not a man like him. And in all of the East, there wasn't a man like him. Man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. So, now, fears God and shuns evil, right? Verse 8. So what is the point of all this, Pastor? Our God is so big, and yet he wants to live on the inside of you and me. And in our day, we're not Adam in the garden. We're not Enoch getting raptured. We're not Job, or we're not Noah in the flood. We're not Job or Abraham or the 12 tribes or David, the prophets. We are not even the disciples pre the cross and the resurrection. We are post-resurrection, post-ascension, post-infilling of the Holy Spirit disciples of Christ. That is an amazing place to be. That's an amazing place to be.
It is.
We're in a place in history nobody's ever been before. Dr. Roberts, Dr. Summerall, all those great men, they didn't have the Bible on a phone. They carried this book with them. Most of them carried a Thompson Jim with them because it is a very complete and thorough commentary and dictionary all in one. And yet they changed the whole world. And you and I got to get busy changing stuff in our lives and in our day because we have it all. And yet we have the greatest distractions that's ever been in front of man's eyes.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And we stick it in their pocket. And you and I are the ones that's got to say, you will not control me. And then stop at lunch and say, pick your phone up and say, I told you you would not control me. Now stop it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
How many days have you been there? But wait. There's no shame in it. There's the lesson that says, wait a minute. Get a hold of yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Find your place. Function in your grace. And win every person to Jesus, you can win. Because nobody's in competition with anybody here at all. Who can compete against who? There's no competition in the kingdom. Zero. Even though there's many people competing against each other. Stop it. You're going to get to heaven and God's going to say, oh, you mean you sent your partner letter out 5 days earlier to beat brother and so-and-so because you wanted yours theirs first because you wanted them to give you the money first? That's called manipulation. Mm-hmm. That's not my plan. And then God says, well, good. Go ahead. Work your plan. See how it works for you. I just read so many verses of scripture, I could like preach now for like 3.5 hours. But I won't. Let's pray and receive communion. You ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for who you are in our life every single day. Every day.
Thank you, Lord.
And thank you for your word. Fills our lives. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We choose to walk with you every single day. Thank you that you live in us, leading us from the inside out. In Jesus' mighty name. I think I got to write that as a book. You did. All right. I'll keep it to myself and tell you afterwards. Let's receive communion. I just kind of kicked back with a big Selah going on, like Selah. That's just such an amazing understanding of God, but of course it's God saying it.
Yeah.
If you ever wondered who God was and you wondered about the sea and Leviathan and the behemoth and all that, that wasn't Job talking, that was God talking. 2 chapters of it. Go back and read it again. Well, Pastor, we don't have anything like that. Who knows? It's God. You're going to say, that ain't right? You can't do that. It's like, I have a friend of mine that says, have you ever noticed that the book of Genesis called the sun and the moon a light? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, don't talk like that. I opened my phone up and went right to Genesis to read it. He's like, what do you think? I'm like, it called the sun and the moon a light. The moon is not reflecting off the sun. People are going to start throwing stuff at me. Go read it. The sun is a light and the moon is a light. The sun gives light by day. The moon gives light by night. I can feel it right now in the air, like, oh, I'd be throwing something at you, Pastor. No, read the Bible and believe what it says. Seriously. And if you're one of those that just said to me, well, Pastor, I read the Bible, but I mean, it's just the Bible. You better correct yourself right now.
My.
Matter of fact, you might ought to go in the bathroom, stand in front of the mirror and just smack yourself upside the head. No, this is our only shot at the holy living word of God. And holy men inspired by God wrote it. What happens when we just believe it is we get the benefit of it in Jesus' mighty name. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28 and 31. For those of you that are with us, and you might be like, what are we doing now, Pastor? We're going to receive communion. Because I will just sit here and prophesy the goodness of God for an hour. Because that word burns inside of you. It should. It should. To the degree that when we close the program, you should look to see who you could send that program to that would transform their life. Now, don't just send it to a whole group of people. Ask God to give you a name. Now, wait, hold on. Everybody here sees Phyllis share our program with the same group of people. I wasn't talking about Phyllis. The point I'm making is let God specifically lead you every day to send this to someone.
That is pretty awesome how she does that, though.
Yes, it is. And as soon as I said it, I'm like, hold up. I'm not rebuking Sister Phyllis. Don't get me wrong on this. But let's truly say, Father, who am I supposed to send this to? See, I just started again. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And just do me a favor, love. Just keep pointing at the clock. All right. I'm actually asking you and I'm assigning you. First Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord. Yeah, I'd hang with you. I know, Roger. All y'all would, or most of you. God is good. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, his burial, going to hell, being raised up, revealing himself to the disciples, and his ascension to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what we proclaim every time we receive these communion elements, because that's Jesus' redemptive work. Verse 28, this is the process. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, stop judging other people, because how you judge them is how God is going to judge you. He said it. With the same measure you judge, I'm going to judge you. Who was the last person you called a dumb, stupid? Wait. Just everybody listen. In this day that we live, we got to fight this every day.
Mm-hmm.
Even me as a pastor. I actually made a statement this week of God bless the IRS. I actually made that statement. Rather than the other one that was trying to come out of my mouth. And there was a lady on the phone and I said, ma'am, did I just say that? She said, I think you did. I said, who'd ever thought you'd ever hear that statement come out of our mouth? She goes, not me. Well, thank you for pointing at the clock. Verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because you quit judging everybody else, so therefore in the day of judgment, you'll be in good shape. Why? As he is, so are we in this world. God's perfect love cast out fear, and the torment that goes with it. Why? There is no fear in God's perfect love.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. We want everybody here to be right with God. When we're finished with that, we'll give you about 2 minutes of instruction. Then we'll receive the communion elements together and watch the clock. Here we go. Pray this prayer with me. Now, don't just say words. Mean this from the depths of your heart. I have been trained by the leaders in my life to teach you how to pray the prayer so that your life will be transformed like that. Ready? Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every
day. And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And all my Zoomers can pray this prayer out loud with your mic on with us if you'd like to.
And all those Zoomers.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me. Thank you.
Put your arms out and just say it. I receive you into my life, Lord.
I receive you into my life, Lord.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life as a believer every day.
And live a successful life as a believer every day.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. Now, ready? Everybody say it. Welcome to the family of God.
Welcome to the family of God.
Good to have you with us. You found us. Spent your whole life to get here. You didn't get here today by accident. This isn't happenstance, happen chance. God led you here and you listened. And now you're born again. And that amazing experience that's going on inside of you right now, wow. You might say, Pastor, I don't even know how to describe it. I know. Because what it is God Almighty filling your very being. You said, Jesus, I receive you. And he said, I give everyone who receives me the power to become the child of God. And now, by his blood, he wipes away your sin. It's all thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. And then by our instruction, you prayed, fill me with all of your grace, your mercy, your love, and your righteousness. Well, if you got all of that of God on the inside of you, everything else has to go. Our challenge from this day forward is to get your beano, your old brainer, fixed to what just happened to you on the inside. Because you're still going to think a little bit to a certain degree like you used to. So, what's going to happen? Hang out with us. Like, subscribe, hit the bell for notification. Come be with us. It doesn't matter where we are or what we're teaching. The Holy Spirit of God will bring you to him every service where you are to where you need to be. How's he going to do that, Pastor? I have no idea how he does it. I just have watched, ready for this? I've been around the kingdom now for 60 years. Now, I haven't watched it for 60 years. Because, of course, you don't watch it when you're 2, 3, 4 years old. But as long as I've been on this earth, people who had no ability to even learn, all of a sudden, because they just came and presented themselves with the believers, in a matter of 6 weeks, they're already strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Why? Because you get it by the presence of God that's in this room. It's not this room. It's this room, which is Michigan, Louisiana, Florida, North Dakota, Malaysia, Singapore. That's how big this room is. And 53 other nations of the world. Thank you, love. So now, how do you walk with God? Every day before you wake up, start asking God to help you before you wake up. Every day when you wake up, lay there on your bed and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, help me walk with you today. And he will. He's in here. He just came and made his abode within you. In Jesus' mighty name. And now, get you some grape juice, get you some bread, and receive communion with us. You're like, really, Pastor? Yeah. Yeah, really. Well, I just got born again. No, but guess what? All you got to do is get born again. And God Almighty comes to live on the inside. And you get to receive communion. You ready? Grab your phone. Run to the kitchen. Get you some bread and water. Don't stub your toe, though. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
Chastisement for my peace is on you,
and
Lord.
By your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken
body. Body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of
in
faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And remember, when you receive communion, it's not about chewing the bread right or drinking the juice right. It's about realizing this represents his body and his blood that was shed. And just like the Passover was a feast, this is just a feast that only takes 10 minutes. But it's the principle that we're after. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with the Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
I thank you for it, Lord.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome. And the accuser of the brethren is gone in my life.
And the accuser of the brethren is gone from my life.
Thank you, Father, I can come to the throne room.
Thank you, Father, I can come to the throne
room. And find grace, mercy, and help.
And find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass
over. And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen and amen. Let's receive his blood shed together. I was playing the song. I was getting it started. I know. Ready? Let's sing the same one we've been singing all week. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All right. That's all we got time for tonight. Remember, tomorrow night, when we come back, we're going to have the story, The Hiding Place. It's the movie of it.
That's very exciting.
And only going to be able to find it on Zoom. I can't broadcast it. So you got to be on Zoom with us. And so make sure you come tomorrow night. All of our Facebook and YouTube friends, please come and join us on Zoom. I won't make you say the confession out loud. I won't make you turn your camera on. Honestly, I ask you to, but I don't force anybody to. If you feel like I'm forcing, then don't. Because I don't ever want to be that way. I just, it makes for a better program when we have communication and interaction. But I really want us to have you here with us. And enjoy this. And listen, you might as well get used to it because we're getting ready to do 12 sessions of Dr. Sutton. And so that's going to be quite a while without being able to be on YouTube or Facebook. And you don't want to miss Dr. Sutton in the book of Revelation. Jesus, by the name. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Phyllis, you got the verses? Can you read them? You got Bunker Biker going on. I'm playing the piano. I am like fired up.
Yeah.
I just read so much Bible that I am fired to the core. Here we go. Let's read the book of Jude. I like this. But you know what? I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to read the book of Ephesians.
All right.
And maybe we'll start switching back and forth. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, God wants you strengthened with might in your inner man by the Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints, the ones up there and all of them here, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Here's the verse. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church, the ecclesia, by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Get out the bongos. I know. I looked down there for him. I had to move him because I kicked him the other day. And I'm like, I'm never doing that again. So lift your hands. Say it with me. We claim everyone that heard this message.
We claim everyone that heard this
come
message.
To Jesus today.
Come to Jesus today.
And to those that missed the rapture.
And to those that missed the rapture.
Find your Bible and figure out who God is.
Find your Bible and figure out who God is.
By following this message right here.
By following this message right here.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Sometimes I'm not sure what things I'm supposed to be echoing and what I'm not.
You ready? Like, subscribe, and hit the bell. And be with us. And we'll help you find Jesus. Till we... I'm on a timeline, so I got to go. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this?
We love
you.
And
no, wait.
God.
We love you. We love you. And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.
I'm fired up.
Love
you. Who'd ever thought you'd read the book of Job and get fired up?
Have a wonderful evening. Rest of your evening.
Bless you, Roger, Brother John, Sister Sunday, and everybody on YouTube, Facebook, Julian Vamala, Sister Maxine. Gary West, man. Peace to you, bro. I've been seeing you out there. Ken Brumbaugh, love you guys. And the whole crowd of you.
Dave Billiard.
Love you, man. See you soon. Sister Mary, Brother Dan, Sister Phyllis, I got to run. We'll see you tomorrow night. Like I really got to run.
So look at what this is. Of all the pictures that YouTube picks out to...
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hold up. I've already got a picture in there.
Well, then why did it pick that one? And I'm thinking, where did that even come from? If nothing else, it should have picked... what you were doing right then when I put this post up.
Yeah, don't share that picture.
What do you mean don't share it?
Well, don't share YouTube as long as that's the picture it's showing.
Well, I didn't share YouTube, and I don't know what picture... I mean, that couldn't have been the picture that was shared on YouTube because you already had YouTube going. So it had to have already picked something, didn't it? And then Facebook just picked that for some reason or something.
No, you know what?
So are we going to be extremely late? Or?
I have 4 hours, 8 to 12,
oh.
To go do my shift. So.
Well, I could have taken more orders.
No, I needed you here for communion because nobody said anything again all night long.
So, to me, that looks like a plan of let's teaching a lesson. Well, Mary said something. It doesn't matter. If they're trying to teach me a lesson or not, I don't know. I don't care. But, I'm going
to
tell you right now, I ain't begging.
Okay, so what do you want to take for a lunch?
Well, I don't know.
Should have made you some boiled eggs. Well, I could make
probably just grab me that sardines up there. I'll just take that.
Some boiled eggs? I don't know if we can
have time for that because I'm still
some
an hour from
cheese.
Get started.
Huh?
What's that?
Some cheese. We can
I can take some sliced cheese and apples. And slice
tomatoes
that.
Tomatoes in here.
Yeah.
Do you want radishes?
I'm going to take the photo with me.
Do you want radishes?
No, I don't want radishes. I'm going to take the photo with me. Should I take the bulldog with me? Should I take the bulldog with me?
Wowza. Jesus. We got to stop saying that because I can't take him in Kamani's truck.
So do you think Phyllis went to everybody after a program and said?
I don't know.
It doesn't seem like everybody else just because.
It doesn't matter. I'm not going to make any accusations because then I get accused. Doesn't matter. I'm just going to keep being me no matter what they do. Like Bill Johnson says, can you work with the rich without hating the poor? Short video. Yeah, I might take one. I will take one, but not bread.
Stevenson.